Here we are. Welcome to another episode of The Stage Dive.
The most underrated tag team finisher in the world today, ever. And the most underrated podcast.
Yes.
True. Oh, true. Hold on 1 second. This is a very special show that we're taping it on. Hold on.
Oh, Jesus. God only knows what's about to happen right now. If the camera even stays there, because now Amber just, oh, boom, there it goes.
I got it.
Everything is... Did she just cry?
No. She's like stuck in
it. The camera's all fucked up now.
Look. There we go. All right. So today, as we sit here, we celebrate your birthday. So birthday wishes. Happy birthday. Woo-hoo! You got it. It reminds me of the Beaver cleavage that you used to have.
That had a propeller on it.
Well, now you're king for the day.
Okay. Can we take these off now?
Sure.
It's kind of scratching my head. Is the camera still straight? Because
Well, yeah.
Okay. When Amber got up, I was like, uh-oh. I think would have knocked her in the head. It would have been, that would have been bad. But anyway, all right. So welcome. And we might as well open our Once Upon a Coconuts. I am trying for the first time ever the blueberry.
And I'm trying watermelon.
So I've had the pineapple, which is delicious, especially with Tito's.
Yes, we had that out in Vegas.
And I had the chocolate yesterday, which tastes like a freaking Yoo-Hoo. Hold on, we got to toast them.
Yes. It smells so good.
All right, you got to smell it. Just drink it. Yeah, that's real good.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real good. I remember.
The blueberry's good. The blueberry's going to go good with Tito's also.
Can they see our coasters?
Well, people listening cannot see it.
Oh, yeah. But if you're watching.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I got funny coasters.
Yeah.
Be considerate, bitches.
Don't stain my table,
douchebag. I have great friends.
So,
all right. So let's jump into this.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to
jump in.
So I had a couple of things written down on here. I was away last weekend. I was in Antigua for a friend's daughter's wedding, which was a blast. When you're on a Sandals resort for 5 days with unlimited food, I say unlimited, but it's all paid for in the fees. But you just walk up and order whatever food or beverages you wanted.
Really? So it was order, not buffet.
Well, there was buffet. Like we went to this one restaurant they had there called Mario's Italian restaurant, and you had a menu. You could order off the menu, but then there was a buffet of like antipasta stuff and like little steak things. Like breakfast, you could order room service, or when you went for breakfast, it was all buffet style. They called it buffet. You go get buffet.
Bobby buffet.
So you can do that. Or you go to a restaurant or what, like we did.
Can you do the restaurants anytime?
When they're open.
Oh,
yeah, when they're open. So different ones. Like they had a pizza place. These pizzas were awesome. They're like little personal pan pizzas. Like not even pan, real thin crust, but like personal pizza. I say pan pizza because Pizza Hut always said personal pan pizza.
Yeah.
But the real thin crust ones, like the personal pizzas. But they were only open until 5. I'm like.
P.M.
Yes.
That's weird.
You would think after unlimited drinking at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Pizzas to go to.
Right. So what we had to do was order a pizza at like 4:30 and then leave it in a room and then eat it cold later on.
Now, microwave?
Was there a microwave? No. But because it was all unlimited food and beverages, in my room was 4 bottles of liquor. There was a bottle of like some kind of old Jamaican spiced rum.
Ooh.
There was a bottle of vodka. And then there was like gin, like fuck drinks gin anymore, and something else. And then there was like wine and then beer in the mini fridge.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, this is an alcohol extreme come true right here. And
not leaving my room for 5 days.
And then my room just happened to be the way it was set up. You walk out of the front door and then you walk out onto the little patio area, 10 more steps. I'm right in the pool.
Oh my God.
It was like the building I was in had like their own private little pool.
That's cool.
So ask me how many times I got in that private little pool.
How many times did you get in that private little pool?
0.
Of course.
Yes.
Not even drunk and fall in?
No, I did not. No. Huh. So there was only one night I was really tipsy.
Rare.
one night I was really tipsy. But the funniest part is after 5 days of it, I was just like, I'm done drinking. Like, you get kind of like, you go, because, you know, my go-to is Tito's with a splash of pineapple. And I was like, all right, let me get something else. I like an old fashioned, had some of those. And then I did switch over on Sunday to this painkiller drink, which was really, really good.
It's got a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah, it was so sweet. After like five of them, I'm like, how many more? I'm going to become a diabetic right. from these things.
Right.
But it was a really good time. So because of that, I share all that because I haven't seen anything. So I missed SmackDown. I didn't see Saturday Night's Main Event. I saw a little bit of Raw. I have not watched NXT at all. The only thing I did watch, I'm caught up on LFG because there was a special appearance on LFG Beneath the Skirt with my man Braxton Cole, who's the smartest man in wrestling for multiple reasons. One, he has a PhD from an Ivy League school, and he decided to go to the ring while reading my book,
right?
The Book of Knowledge, as Bully Ray says.
Yes.
The Book of Knowledge.
Yeah. Yes.
But I'm not sure yet. I'm going to ask them if I can share that out on social media, the video of it. I don't know if it's trademarked. It's an A&E thing. It's not. Yeah. I mean, I know we share videos.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't know the rule there yet, and I don't want to get in trouble.
Right.
On
toes.
But you can, LFG on A&E on Sunday nights. Go back to this last week's episode and Braxton Cole versus Andre Chase. This was
Beneath the Skirt.
Did I mention that this is on there? And they zoom in right on it. I sent it to you. They zoom right in.
Yeah. Yes. But no, I did watch Monday Night Raw this past week. All the way up until the contract signing. I wasn't really interested in watching two guys. I'd rather see them work. I thought the show was solid. Again, it's going to seem like I'm beating the same horse over and over again. Seth Rollins and Becky are phenomenal.
I like this version of Seth Rollins
way better.
Better than the Vision version.
Way better.
I like this version better than the let me come out with the weird clothes and
way better.
Yeah, I like this a lot better.
And it's so funny because Becky Lynch did an interview because she's wrestling Soruka at this weekend in London.
Right.
Or is it
Italy.
London?
Italy. Clash in Italy.
Italy, that's it. London's always on my mind. But she did an interview and it was freaking gold. It was hilarious. If you get a chance, go back and watch just her.
I'm going to watch it. I have to.
Cause it reminded me, and this is going to sound weird, the way she was talking, I felt like I was watching Donald Trump as a female.
That sounds odd.
So now just, I when can't. You watch it and everything else, just how she talks about herself kind of in the second or third person kind of way. It was like Trump was like, yeah, they make the bombs, but we blow them up. I did a great job. Like she was talking like kind of like I am the man. I you'll see. But her stuff is just.
Oh, she's awesome.
She's gotten so like there, like their characters that they're into right now are so them.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with. And again, I'm guessing here. There's obviously writers involved, but I think they have more say in what they say and what they do now. Kind of like us back in the day. It was like, here's the idea. They hand us a piece of paper. Here's the idea of what you want to say. Go make it you.
Yeah,
I think that's a lot more now than it was.
I think previous. With certain people, yes, that is like that, and I think them too definitely is like that. But as good as I felt for them, that's how bad I felt for Rusev. He is such a good worker, but it just seems like everything that they put him in, it doesn't flourish into something more. Like, he could be a beast. He could be, like, a Brock Lesnar or, you know, Oma Femi. And, you know, he could be a monster like that if they built him like that. But I don't know what it is. I love watching him work, but then I feel so bad for him because, you know, after his match, it was against Rey Mysterio for an IC title shot.
Contenders match.
Yeah, so it was those two because Rey now is the general manager of AAA. So they wanted to put in Mysterio at AAA. Be phenomenal. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But after the match, somebody came out. I forget who it was that came out. But like all the good guys just left good guy-ish. And the bad guys are just laying dead. I don't know. To me, it just wasn't.
All right, I'll have to watch it back because now I can't even
comment on it.
Yeah. I can't comment on it because I didn't see it.
It just, there was one point where Rusev was down like this, and I was just like, oh man, he's going with the
ball. Think Rusev's maybe in that role of right now of being the veteran, kind of just helping the young talent out. So that's kind of his role. That's his job. That's what he's there to do. And he probably knows that, probably at the same time isn't thrilled about it.
Yeah.
But you're getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
And you're doing your job.
Yeah.
And he's got himself into great shape. He looks great. He looks
phenomenal.
You're right. He looks like he's a beast.
Yeah. And everything he does in the ring looks phenomenal. I wish they had something better for him.
Well, I mean, there's only so many spots to put him in. So having him in the Intercontinental thing with, you know, I think, and again, I didn't see it. I don't know what's happening, but I know him and Ethan Page have kind of gone back and forth. Yeah. Him and Ethan, if somehow you can't turn Ethan babyface, somehow Rusev turns babyface, him and Ethan will have fucking great matches.
Right.
They would have a great feud, a great run, because Javon and Ethan already did it in NXT, and I'm sure that'll kind of trickle back here. But there's no way you're turning Ethan Page, I'm telling you, is the new Miz.
I'm telling you, he came down the ringside, and that's who was down there. And so he slid in the ring. They got on top of Ray. Somebody with a Lucha mask came out, that one of the Lucha Brothers, I guess, that just resigned to him and Ray, got on top of him and stuff like that, left them in the ring, and they left with their hand up. That's exactly what it was. But I didn't like the Ethan Page character. I like his work, and I like him on the mic. And now, after seeing it a couple more times since he started doing it, I love it. I love it.
See, when I first met him,
he sold me on himself.
And that's what he'll continue to do, because he doesn't, it's the same thing. So when I first met him, it was funny. When I first met him at NXT, he was NXT champ.
Yeah.
And he was feuding with Trick Williams. And, you know, I saw him down at the school. And it was the same thing. Like, all you have is perception of what you see on TV. But as soon as you meet him in person, it's like a totally different down to earth, like wanting to learn. Like, he's a fucking sponge and comes over and says hi and everything. But again, I don't have to watch back. So something I can talk about, and we haven't talked about it yet on here, is Brock's return.
No,
when he came out and just left. Oh, I talked about this on IG and on the podcast last week that I did on my own, that I was laying upstairs in bed, and when the lights went out, I was like, Oba came out. Like, I love Oba to death.
Yeah.
But he came down, I went, okay, like, who's he going to beat up this time? Last week he went to the back and pulled two guys out, beat the shit out of him. I wasn't a fan about that.
He had a great promo.
I wasn't great about it. I didn't love that. So I was sitting there like, okay, like, who's he going to beat up now? And then all of a sudden, it was still dark, and boom, 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 and then the lights came on. It was Brock. I literally started chanting in the bed, holy shit. Before the crowd, I was like, holy shit, like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I loved it. What I didn't love was his promo this week with Paul Heyman. There was one part I didn't love. Oba. So Paul goes out there, does thing.
Yeah.
Oba comes out.
That was the interview I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I like.
So there's two things I didn't like about it.
Okay.
And I'm going to start with this. Stone Cold, when he came to the ring, he always went to the ring, jean shorts, knee brace, and his little vest jacket.
Yeah.
Same every single time. Or it was the black trunks, his knee brace, and his vest. They had Oba come out dressed in clothes.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make him look huge. To me, it made him look
normal.
Normal. He didn't look like the beast that he usually, I mean, he got the necklace on.
Maybe there's a reason behind that.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm sure there was.
Yeah.
But at this point, why do we want to humanize him?
Right.
Let's not humanize him yet. So that's one thing I wasn't crazy about. But as far as the promo goes, like, I thought it was really good up till the end when he said, the first match, I trained to beat Brock Lesnar. This next one, I'm training to kill him.
Yeah.
We're not killing anyone.
No.
Like, when he was going there, I was like, yes, this is good. I was saying, this is good. And as soon as he said kill, I went,
nobody knows.
Like, if he just would have said the first one.
To retire him.
No.
Again.
The first one was to beat Brock Lesnar. This next one is to end Brock Lesnar. No even reason to say retire. Just I'm going to end you. I thought that would have been a lot more powerful. I thought that would have been
a lot more
bigger.
Powerful. Yeah.
To say you're going to kill somebody, like everybody knows he's not killing.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar. That was the only part I didn't like.
Yeah. But you could see his promo week after week getting better and better. With that. So again,
because because of that, they're getting better and better. I think that has to do with Paul, because I'm sure he's working with Paul
100%
that he's
right.
Right.
100%. I think Paul is digging his fingers into him and molding him and stuff like that. And doing what he can to
and get. Knowing what I know of Oba, he's a piece of clay and can be molded into. He's going to be a sponge and a piece of clay that they're going to be able to. Yes,
and that's why the best thing that happened for Oba since coming up is being matched in that Paul Heyman circle and stuff like that. So you know,
so
hats off to Paul.
Again. So what do you think of what's going to happen in the match Clash in Italy?
So here's my thought. I don't like the fact that they're calling it the biggest rematch ever.
Mm. They got to build it up.
I mean, I get it. I mean, ever? Really?
Well, they're saying the biggest rematch from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. But I mean, Hogan and Warrior, you had at WrestleMania at one time. Sure.
Yeah, but they didn't. Did they rematch after that?
Probably.
I don't know.
It'd be either. That's actually remember.
I don't. That part doesn't bother me.
I think the outcome of that match.
That was a bad one.
I think Brock is going to go over. I think he's going to get his hand raised.
I think Brock goes over.
And we'll keep going.
And then it ends at SummerSlam.
That's
in Minneapolis, Brock's hometown, where Brock started and now will finish.
The way Brock wants to do it.
So there was, did you see, there was an interview I saw. I don't know who Brock did it with, but basically they did an interview and Brock came right out and said in the interview.
Explaining why?
Yeah. So Brock came right out and said, listen, when I took my boots off, I was done.
Yeah.
He was like, I retired. That was a shoot. Like, no one knew he was doing it.
Yeah.
But he was like, my body's beat up. The dyscectioritis or whatever he has, like, beat him up. His knees hurt. His back hurts. We know how that is.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm done. But then WWE came after him and was like, well, you have a contract. And Amber, you have a contract. And you know, they're going to take money back. There's going to be penalties. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. So they kind of, from what I understand, I'll blame it on TKO. They're the heel. Kind of forced him to come back.
Right.
Which, the way he came back, I loved it.
So, me too.
I like the fact that he came around and said, I don't want Gunther to beat me like he did to John Cena. I don't want to go out like John Cena.
Right.
He said that in the thing.
Yeah.
But for him to come back, because I'm trying to remember when Brock first came in. Again, I didn't really watch much. Who kind of, maybe, I don't know if it was Taker. I mean, I know Taker did at WrestleMania when he ended the streak saying, hey, I'm passing the torch. But I see Brock now at SummerSlam passing the torch at Oba and putting Oba over.
So you think TKO and Brock came to an agreement instead of working out the entire contract, doing so many more matches?
You know what? I didn't think about it that way. I didn't think about it that way until you just asked me that. But I'm going to say yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
I think, you know, they came to, like you said, I think that whole thing is 100% accurate. And I think what they said is, hey, give us until X date.
I think.
And then we'll let you out.
Now that you say that, it was probably TKO going to Triple H. And then I don't see anybody from, unless Ari did it. I don't see anyone from TKO going to Brock. Because Brock came right on set. Brock's like, listen, you know, I need money. So, yeah, I have money, but I still have bills to pay. I have this, I have that, blah, 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 blah. I still need to make some money. But it was probably Triple H I went to and was like, listen, come here. Let's finish up this way.
Right.
And it finished in Minneapolis. I mean, that'll be amazing.
But if that's the case, that's the road that we're going down, what happens in Minneapolis?
I think he puts Oba over.
On his last match.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, he can't.
Yeah.
He can't go over.
Yeah,
he'll go in his way. That buries Oba.
Yeah.
He's got to build Oba up. He's got to pass the torch to Oba in that match. And I think that's where it's going.
And I think having a 1-1.
Yeah. The rubber match.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cause who knows if Brock goes over and Clash in Italy does Oba jump him? Does he, you know what I mean? Like, or does Brock just slide out? Or how does it
turn Oba
heel?
Even more, I don't want to say vicious, but even more vicious. Because you know how that elevates people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When they have that and stuff. So,
yeah, it's another gear change for them to switch into something.
So I think it would be cool to see.
I think that's what it's, I'm guessing, I'm speculating, but I think that would be the way to go. And I think Brock puts him over and passes the torch.
I see 100%. Yep.
So Clash in Italy.
Yeah.
Has three big matches that could be main event matches, WrestleMania, anything. Mm-hmm. So, let's start with Cody Gunther. Okay. Belt change?
No.
No.
No. No. It's just, I mean, I know they're on SmackDown, right?
Yes.
And that's why I haven't really seen much of that, because I haven't, but even online, I haven't heard anything about it. Like seeing any clips or anything.
I think out of the three big matches that we're going to talk about, everyone knows the big three matches. That's clearly the third.
Clearly number
three.
Yeah.
It's clearly number three.
And it's the first match on ESPN.
Is it?
I think they just announced that on Monday.
Okay. Yeah. I think
that's what I heard. It's the first match on Monday.
Yeah, I don't know. I am kind of glad, though, Gunther's in something different other than retirement matches. I want to retire. Come on.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great match. But like you said, out of all three of them, that's the lowest one for me.
Right. I think in general it just is. But then you got the Tribal Combat match.
I think that's going to be great. I think you're going to see the title change there.
You think 5-2?
Yep. Even if it's for a day.
Well, more, but it's more than just a title change.
It's the
head of the table.
Yes.
Yes, it's tribal chief also.
But how interesting would that be for Fatu to win that?
Oh, yeah. No, it would be because he's come right out and said all along, I want everything you have. But he did say at first, I don't care about being tribal chief. I just, everything else you have, I want to be able to take care of my seven kids.
But could you see, like, the next day, like, Jacob coming to the ring, and then he got those three like dragging their ass. Oh, God. Mom's taking us to the store, and you're sitting in the back of the Buick with the fucking windows up and the smoke all going, and you're like, I can't believe I got to go to the store.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. You just threw me totally off.
That wasn't like, your childhood? Oh, wait, that was mine.
We're three. I mean, my mom had an orange Buick, but they had no air conditioning, so you know it would have been bad. I don't know what the three you're talking. Are you talking about like Roman and the Usos following
Jacob down?
Like tail,
he's the head of the table.
Tail between the legs.
Yeah,
I don't see them following him. I see Jacob going to the ring and like demanding them to come out or
and acknowledge me,
right,
as your tribal.
I mean, it would be awesome. God,
the places they could go,
to
rejuvenate the
because.
The whole family thing. It'd be phenomenal.
The funny part is, and I think we talked about this before, I can see Jacob as world heavyweight champion. But then I was like, is he ready for it? But the way they're doing the screensaver.
We did it for your birthday. fireworks. See?
I don't give a shit about my birthday.
Never has.
Father's Day is more important to me than my birthday. But as far as Jacob having it for like a long term, like Roman did, I was like, but if they totally switch his bloodline story around and make it different, you're 100% right. It could be crazy, weird,
so
fun.
Weird, so crazy. So many different avenues as they could go down.
Cause you got like Solo and, you know, his MFT people and, you know, I know part of them got released, but there's so many different angles to spin it. And here'd be the other cool part. So what happens if Jacob doesn't win? So you go back to Raw, and does he go crazy again? And then does Rikishi come out? Do they start bringing out, like, because I know before like the elders had come out to the ring and, mm-hmm. you know, had gotten involved, But this storyline going from Backlash to now, it's only been a couple of weeks. You don't have that time to build it. So if Jacob doesn't win and he still stays unhinged, does that now build a storyline leading up to SummerSlam? But now you get the elders coming out and getting involved, trying to talk him off a ledge, tell him to get in line. Like the thing is, the storyline now is if Jacob loses, he's got to get in line and he's got to acknowledge or serve Roman or whatever it is. But do they bring him out going, listen, dude, you lost. You had your chance. You did tribal combat. Right. Like, you need to get in line now and have him. Imagine him going off on Rikishi.
And it was so great, too, because they actually explained why Roman didn't hesitate to accept the tribal fight or whatever.
The combat.
Is because, I guess, in that pack, you can't do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's one of those. Yeah, it's one of those. Christmas story. I double dog dare you.
Right.
I triple dog dare you. It skipped the double dog dare. So he had to do it. He had to stick his tongue on the thing.
Yeah.
On the pole. Yeah. So
I think the avenue of Jacob winning is there's so many different more storylines you can go to if Jacob loses versus Jacob losing.
Yeah. Because I mean, if Jacob loses, in theory, all he's going to do is get pissed and stay unhinged.
Yeah.
But the other side of it, too, is this is great. This just popped into my head. He goes over, right? And now he wants to do a whole acknowledge me thing.
Right.
Now he makes all the elders and everyone come out and like
and acknowledge him
yes. as the like I got yes. goosebumps on
that one. That it would be a great storyline.
Yeah.
And there's so many different ways to go off of that. Then you have one trying to, you know, like a union takeover kind of situation. You have somebody in a family, maybe a Zulu.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah. All right. So getting off of that, I was watching. I did see this the other night.
Uh-oh.
Who was Javon Evans working?
If it was Monday night, it was Penta.
Okay. So he said.
What a match.
Well, hold on. Yes, it's a great match. But he's going to freaking kill himself. And I saw this. And I wrote it down just for the fans out there who's never been in a ring, whether you're watching or listening. That wrestling ring is all steel.
Yes.
Then you have 2x4s, 2x6s, whatever wide, but they're 2 inches thick.
Yep.
Then you have about 1.5 inches of foam.
Yep.
Inch, maybe even if it's 2 inches.
Yep.
Then you pull the canvas. And it squishes it down to like 1/4 inch, a half inch to 1 inch. So it's not a trampoline.
Nope.
And there's a reason for that. So just trying to educate the uneducated at the ignorant, the ignorant fucks out there who don't know and seem to think that it's
they do know.
That it's a mattress and you just fall on it, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
The middle of the ring is the best part to take a bump because that is the softest, if you're going to go anywhere, softness, safest part of the ring.
Because of the give.
There's a little bit of give.
Yes.
And the reason you don't want a lot of give is, and I try to explain this to people all the time, and once you explain it, they kind of get it. You don't want a lot of give or you don't want it to be bouncy like a trampoline because as we run across and we step,
it's coming back up.
It's coming back up. So that's a twisted ankle, a blown knee. So you don't want it bouncy. But the safest part to take a bump is the center of the ring. The worst part to take a bump is the apron.
Yes.
That is the, and the aprons now, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, because they do so much on them, are bigger.
Wider
yes. than they were for.
Yes.
When we were there, this table is.
Is probably about as.
This table, I think, is 21 or 22 inches.
And it was probably here.
Yeah. It was maybe half of this. Say,
yes.
Say a foot.
Yeah.
But now it's a little bit more. Penta's on the outside of the ring, and I actually popped for a second because I saw Javon running to hit the ropes. As the way he dove over, I'm like, he's doing the inside out clothesline. He's doing because I went through it with him and a couple guys like while back. You know, I'm always trying to pass our stuff on to people at the PC, like do stuff. The only ones who picked it up is OTM when they did the double flapjack. They threw that guy through the freaking roof. But anyway, he jumped and then he hit the cutter. And he landed
on the apron,
but not even flat on the apron. It was like lower back on it.
Yes.
With his feet hitting the ground. And then he rolled over on the floor and grabbed his lower back. And I went, oh no. Oh no. So here's my point. Why?
It was I don't so understand cool.
all the bumps. It looks great. You get the reaction from the crowd, but your lifespan is going to be short.
Your bump card.
Yeah, it's going to be short. We were always taught, maybe it's different now, but that's pay-per-view stuff.
Right.
That's extra stuff. Now, again, granted, that's just, I know that's just who Javon is, but Javon does so much great stuff. He can do it safely, safer in the middle of the ring, not bumping on the apron. So apron bumps, I don't
particularly like them.
I don't like them. Every time I see someone bump on the apron, I go, ow. Mm. I think it was Liv. I don't know if it was Io Sky or Asuka. One of them did like the Canadian Destroyer thing on the apron.
Oh, it was the girls.
I was like, what are we doing here? Like, every time there's someone on there on the apron, I sit there and I hold my breath because you're just waiting for something freaky to happen, like what happened to Paul Logan. How freaky is that? With a blown tricep now. That I don't understand. And the other thing I don't understand is when I whip someone into the turnbuckles, into the corner, it hurts. You feel it. It doesn't kill you. I mean, granted, the turnbuckle's padded, but you still feel the ropes. The pad is only that. It's safe. An inch, 2 inches. But again, there's a metal hook behind there. You still feel that when you hit it.
Yeah.
And when somebody big's giving it to you, like if Oba or Brock or somebody like that's giving me the turnbuckle, I take it as hard as I possibly can because that's what you're supposed to do. Why are guys have a guy in the other corner, then they run to the other corner, hit it as hard as they can,
and then run
because if I whip you into the corner, you're hitting it and you're falling down or you're selling that it hurts. So why does it not hurt when you run into it yourself?
Don't know. I saw that too. I went,
if anyone out there in the indies or anyone that does that, let us know. I mean, comment on it, email me at, you know, chazmosh@gmail.com, chaz@chazmosh.com, whatever. Fucking reach out, let it Instagram, whatever it is. Just
and people have been doing it for a while. It's been going on for a while.
I've never understood it. And I question it all the time. But when I saw Javon do what he did, I was like, I have to write this down. We got it somehow.
Same thing with the whole head and the turnbuckle thing and stuff like that. And it's padded. It's like a pillow, but it's not a stick.
It's funny you say that because there's a couple of people.
We're headbangers. It really doesn't hurt.
No. So there's a couple of people at the PC. And I have yet to see anyone do this.
Really?
So, you know, you have the corners. You have four corners. There's one corner of every ring, WWE ring, because they use ropes. Not cables are different.
Right.
Talking about the ropes. There's one corner where the rope loops around and comes back out. It's thicker.
Yeah.
It's thicker. I tell them, tell commentary, notice you're not hitting the buckle. You're throwing their head into the thicker rope right there. That I'm going to understand.
That's understandable.
That makes a little bit more sense. No one's fucking done it yet. I haven't seen anyone do it.
But the book made a debut.
The book did make a debut.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't understand the...
And it's funny, whenever I used to go to the top rope to do the stage dive, I would always try to pick that corner.
I mean, it's a better corner. It gives you more...
Yeah. Footage.
I would think so, even though I don't go to the top rope. What time is it? All right, we got a few minutes. All right, so I had something else on here I wanted to talk about. Think about this for next week.
Okay.
Tommy Dreamer and Dave LaGreca. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Dave LaGreca. Talked about this yesterday. The Mount Rushmore of managers.
Ooh.
And their Mount...
Do we have a women's side and a female side?
No, what they did was the they thing. Did...
A male and a female side.
Did they do a female and a girl and a woman's side?
Yeah, that's what I said first. I was like, wait, they're the same people.
No, so what they did at first, they were just talking about, because what it was, they had Jimmy Hart on.
Yeah.
And they were talking about like how great Jimmy Hart was.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I never realized, and they said it, and I didn't know this, so I'm going to have to go back and watch it now. And again, back then we didn't, TV wasn't what it was, but they basically said Lawler gets the credit for Memphis being put on the map, but it was actually Jimmy Hart.
Really?
With his storylines, with his heel stuff, with the stuff he did. And Jimmy Hart was talking about it yesterday on Busted Open with Dave and Tommy. And I found it very interesting.
Well, and Jimmy Hart is just the nicest.
He's, yes. So,
kindest person you ever want to meet.
So, I guess we can just go over this real quick. So, I did a quick Google search because they actually said, like, so if you do, you know, obviously managers, you always think of as heels.
Right.
So then they started talking about, like, you know, baby face managers and, like, it's like, who's really a baby face manager? Like, maybe Miss Elizabeth was at one point with Macho Man.
Yeah.
You know, so different.
Paul Ellering.
Yeah. So anyway, I did a search and I did different things with ChatGPT and I said to him, so this was the top 10 that came up with ChatGPT, and then we'll do the Mount Rushmore. So the top 10, I'll go from 10 to 1. Miss Elizabeth.
Okay.
Sensational Sherry.
9.
J.J. Dillon.
8. Ooh.
Paul Bearer. 7. 6 is Freddie Blassie.
Okay.
5, Paul Heyman.
Okay.
4, Jimmy Hart. 3, Captain Lou Albano.
Ooh.
2, Jim Cornette.
Okay.
And number 1, Bobby Heenan. So,
you know who they're missing?
Who?
The Grand Wizard.
So the Grand Wizard was listed in a couple of other things, but I took
Mr. Fuji.
I think I took like 4. He was listed in a couple of the other ones, but I took like 4, like Oliver Humperdinck was in there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I took like 4 or 5 of those, and I threw it in ChatGPT and said, "Take these and give me a top 10 based on these different lists."
Right, right.
So this is what it came up with. So, out of those, like, who would you pick Mount Rush? 4 of them, like Mount Rushmore-ish.
4 of them. Definitely Jimmy Hart, Cornette, Captain Lou, Paul Heyman.
So, here is, so Dave and Tommy have 3 the same, and then their 4th one is different.
Ooh.
So here's the same Dave and Tommy had. Bobby Heenan.
Yep.
Jimmy Hart. J.J. Dillon. And then their 4th ones were different. Guess who Tommy's was?
Paul.
Yes. Given. I mean, Paul's up there.
No matter what.
Yeah. He's with everything he did with.
And still doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And LaGreca, this one actually kind of surprised me. Paul Ellering.
Really?
Yeah. That was his. So that was their Mount Rushmore. Dave's is Heenan, Jimmy Hart, JJ, and Paul Ellering. And then Tommy Dreamer's is Bobby Heenan, Jimmy Hart, JJ Dillon, and Paul Heyman.
See, and the only reason. Paul's. Yeah, right. The only reason I didn't say anything about JJ Dillon is because he was more WCW, AWA.
Yeah, they're just talking.
See that stuff?
No, we didn't. But Dave hit it on the head yesterday. He said, "He goes, you always think of the four horsemen.
Yes,
4 people. But who was always the constant there?
JJ
Dillon.
Yeah,
and it could have been like the 5 horsemen.
That's true.
And then back then they would have those crazy matches. They'd have the scaffold match stuff like that, and JJ Dillon would get involved
somehow
in those matches.
Yeah.
But the smoothest elbow I ever have taken was Jim Cornette's that time. But, you know, yeah, JJ got involved.
And you know what's so weird, too, is if you think of JJ Dillon and go, what was his primary role? He was in there with 4 probably of the greatest promo people ever. So what was
promo his, and workers?
Yeah,
he was more of the
role type. Because, again, didn't see that much of it because we were in the North.
So let's do this. We're going to stop with that question.
That's a good one.
We'll stop with that question and we'll do some research on JJ and we'll have a whole JJ discussion next week.
Yeah. Because he's another phenomenal. He's always been good to us. He's always been nice.
Yeah. No, he's great. But again, it was being us from the Northeast, we basically got WWF, WWE stuff. And because I told you this, the first time I ever saw like Ricky and Robert. Was when I got I remember one year for Christmas, I got a black and white TV. The next year I got a VCR. I remember going to West Coast Videos. And I rented like 4 or 5 different wrestling tapes, VHS tapes.
Yeah.
And one of them was, I think, Starcade. And it was a scaffold match
Yeah.
with Ricky and Robert against Midnight Express.
Is that when Jimmy broke his leg?
I don't know.
Didn't he fall off the scaffold?
Like his leg they had so many of those matches. Yeah. I don't know. But that was like that was my introduction to them, and then that's when I started seeing the magazines and stuff like that. But so we'll
pick up. You used to go to the Brawl and Farmers Mart and look at the magazines right there. That one door you walked in, the magazine store was right there, and it had all wrestling stuff.
I did, yes, when I would go there. Like back then, you know, you had to go. We went on Sunday sometimes, but I would go. But no, my spot was the Work Road, the 7-Eleven right there. That's where I would go get my magazines. I'd get my pro wrestling magazines.
I'd go down there and watch them make pretzels.
Yeah,
get a bag. Great.
But I wasn't close to there.
Yeah.
So I had to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That was further away.
Yeah.
That was further away. But all right. So I want to end on this.
Okay.
I saw this online and I found it very interesting.
Okay.
So I want to ask you about it.
Okay.
Which contract? Okay. Put your thinking cap on.
Celebrate.
Now you got to let me. You got to let me finish all these out.
Okay.
Okay. You got to hear him out.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's telling me to shut up.
Yeah. You got to hear him out.
Okay.
Which contract are you signing? And actually, this is funny. I had this weird dream last night that we were offered. This was a like some kind of contract from WWE. And you were like, I don't want to sign it. I want to just keep doing what we're doing. And I'm like, but we're not doing anything. And you're like, I don't want to sign it. I'm enjoying what we're doing. I'm like, but we're not doing anything. And the contract was for like $191,000. And I'm like, but what are you making? Like, it was a very weird idea, but you don't want to sign it. So
Amazon's not paying that much.
All right. So here it is. Which contract are you signing?
Okay.
Raw. Now hold on. Now there's,
you said there was five.
There's three.
Three. Okay.
There's stipulations for each contract.
Okay.
So Raw, the length is 12 months.
Okay.
The salary is $500K. Your role would be upper mid Carter.
Okay.
Mentor would be Triple H. Bonus, you get showcased on TV every week.
Okay.
SmackDown, length 12 months.
So same.
Salary, $750,000.
Okay.
Role, lower mid Carter. Mentor, Stephanie McMahon. Bonus, guaranteed match at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Third option, NXT. Length, 2 years. Salary, $250,000 a year.
Okay.
Role, main eventer. Mentor, HBK, bonus, a year-long run with the NXT championship. So, Raw, 12 months, yep. $500K, mid-Carter, Triple H, you're on TV every week. SmackDown, more money, lower mid-Carter, Stephanie, guaranteed match at WrestleMania. NXT, 2 years, $250,000, which is really $500,000 over the 2 years.
Yeah.
Main eventing, a year-long run with the NXT championship. Mentor, HBK. Which one of those categories of length, salary, role, mentor, or bonus would mean more to you? Because to me, that's the part where I go almost like, okay, that would be more important than all the other stuff.
I would go with one, Raw.
You would go with Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Upper to mid card, you're going to make more on your royalties. You're some more t-shirts, more
salaries, $500K. Swag. You're only getting $500K.
So there's no,
it doesn't say, it just says salary. Okay. 500. So we got to go off of this. Cause that was the other part with,
I would probably, that was still
the other
that.
Part, like with SmackDown guaranteed match at WrestleMania, but are you getting paid extra? No, you got to go off with this.
Right.
The specifics are
still
here.
Say with one.
Yeah. See, I'm torn between Raw and NXT. Because, again, 2 years, it's the same money.
Yeah, I'll look at you. You can print it out.
I print it out, because if not, I'm not going to remember.
Look how clever he is.
this was the picture that was online. Yeah. If not, you think I would have been remember all this?
No.
I wasn't going to retype it. Reinventing the wheel here. So, I mean, yeah, NXT's 2 years, but the money's the same.
Yep.
Main eventer. I mean, you can you really go wrong with either mentor between Trip and Sean?
No.
No, you can't.
No.
See, and a year... Year-long run with the NXT championship.
This is every week on TV.
So is this, though.
That's the only reason I didn't pick that, because it was just...
Yeah.
You could be lost.
But Raw and NXT, you're on TV every week also, yeah. Especially if you're getting a one-year run with the NXT championship. You're still on TV every week.
And it's 2 years.
It's 2 years, so that makes the money the same.
Same.
And then you get HBK.
Yeah, it's tough.
See, because of what I know with NXT, because you're not just getting, I mean, you're getting Sean as a mentor, but now you're getting Terry Taylor, you're getting Steve Corino, you're getting all the other coaches.
At the same time, yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously, and again, we can't use this, but like you were trying to say merchandise and stuff. My thought was, well, then from here, I'm going up to here. Now I'm working with Triple H. So that was my
now I'm moving up.
Right.
Right, because all the champions move up.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get wrong with either one of those.
No.
Especially with, you know, I said this because it's a match every week on Raw. It's upper mid-card main event status, and you have Triple H, so you're in his ear, you're learning from him.
Right.
He's not just going to be one and done and see you go.
Right.
You're not getting it. That's what I would have to say with this.
Yeah, I see that part because here you're working with HBK, but then when you jump up to Triple H, if he doesn't understand you.
Yeah.
But then again, Triple H ain't bringing anyone up without talking to Sean first. So,
yes.
So right. That's a whole different thing right
yeah.
there. That's a whole different thing because the two of them are constantly talking anyway.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So, but in the way, and since that's happened with Triple H running things more with Vince not being there, look at the people they've brought up from NXT, the pushes they're now getting compared to the talent beforehand.
Yeah.
It's totally different.
Now. Totally different. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The new kids coming up are getting much more play on TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
It's good. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I love it. They need the fresh blood in there. And
yeah,
yeah, it's all good.
Sprinkled right. in with the season.
Right. All right. So I got yay.
Birthday boy.
Yay. Yay. All right. So anyway, yay. Happy birthday to me. And
it's so great that I get to do this first. My birthday's after his.
Yeah, I don't know if that's good or bad.
It could be bad. Yeah.
All right, yeah. So do whatever makes your heart happy. Just don't suck at it. And we'll see you next time.
That's right.